The title of this message is Saved by Grace Through Faith. I'm pretty sure that this is something that you all are probably familiar with, Ephesians 2:8. So we're going to kind of delve into that a little bit, and I want to bring something to the forefront of your mind where the discussion question is concerned. So let's go to a quick word of prayer. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just thank you so much for this time for us to come together and hear your word, Father. I pray that everyone gets exactly what you have for them to receive today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to jump right into it. Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. Now, on this particular scripture, I chose the Amplified version just because that's one of the versions that I like to study with. And also, you know, it gives some good, clear explanations of things. So, you know, your choice. But Ephesians 2:8, it reads, let me get my timer started real quick. Ephesians 2:8, it reads, "For it is by grace, remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. Not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation." And, you know, that is the, to me, that's the ultimate miracle, you know, becoming born again, receiving salvation. And there are a lot of things that come with salvation. So, and again, we're going to get back into this question a little bit later on, but one of the things that we're going to be looking at today is what it took for that to happen. What does it take for you to become born again? What does it take for you to receive eternal life? Now, normally when this question is posed to Christians and you know, are you born again? Can I see the hands of everyone who's born again? Okay. Awesome. Awesome stuff. So does that mean that you're going to have eternal life?
Yes.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. And so with that being said, that has been accomplished. That has been done. That is set in stone. There's nothing that's going to shake that. But oftentimes we're so stern and unshakable on that truth. But then there are things that's less, that comes in to be less than salvation, that we are shaken by. So what I wanted us to do today is kind of look at what salvation, what comes with it, you know, what all comes with it. So if you are so stern and not shaken when it comes to you being born again, your eternal life in heaven, then how is it that worry, fear, finances, you know, different issues that pop up that salvation took care of, how is it that those things can shake you? So that's what I kind of wanted to pose today. So going back to his original design, in order for us to become born again, we see two parts, okay? So let's look at that scripture one more time. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved." So I'm going to stop right there. "For it is by grace that you have been saved." So that part, that was God's part. That was the part that God did. He did that a long time ago through Jesus Christ, through that sacrifice. We were saved by grace. But there's also another part that goes with that. And the next part says we were saved by grace through faith. So now the faith part becomes our part. And when I say our part, you know, when I was studying and going through, I like to use the definition of faith as being a positive response to something that God has already done. Okay? Faith is a positive response to something that God has already done. And so in that particular situation, God did what he did, and then there had to be a positive response to what he had already done, which is believe. So when you look at that design, and we know that God is sovereign, you know, and he can do all things, but in this particular design, we had to be included, right? So when you look at that particular design, then, and we see the part or the role that we play, it's very important to understand that. And it's very important to know that, you know, we played a major role because we had to believe, we had to positively respond to what God had already done. And so with this being said, you know, it kind of brings to the forefront of your mind, okay, if I positively responded and if I made the decision to believe in order to receive my salvation, then, you know, if I'm having an issue in the area of finances, why can't I do the same thing? Because finance falls underneath salvation. Salvation is, boom, it's at the top, right? So anything that comes under that, it's already done. These things came with salvation, so it's a done deal, just like salvation is. And so that's the question I want to pose. Why is it that I can tap into that faith for my eternal life to become born again? But it's sort of an issue. It's kind of shaky when it comes to the day-to-day things of life that we deal with. You know, a while back, I did a message called God Has Already Done His Part, Now You Do Yours. You know, it's kind of straightforward. But I come from United Methodist Church. And, you know, coming from that traditional background, you know, you kind of have to be careful how you say things and how you do things, you know. but so, you know, you can imagine, you know, me standing up in front of people and saying, hey, God's already done his part. Now you do yours. But one of the things that I want to bring to that, you know, I want to bring some balance to that. When I say you do yours, I'm not saying to work. I'm not telling you to do any work. I'm saying that you have to get involved in the process. It's very important to understand the difference between process and work. For example, you have running water in your house, right? So that water is on, everything is there, it's good. But now, if you're thirsty, you can't just say, hey, I'm thirsty, and water appears in your mouth and goes down your throat. That's not how it works, right? You have to get up, walk over to the cabinet, get a cup, go to the sink, turn the water on, put the cup under there, and get the water, right? Do you consider that work, or do you consider that being involved in the process of receiving your water? You know, there's different people look at it different ways, you know? But work is when you're doing something to try to get God to move. And that's not the case. In this example, God has already moved. He's already provided the water. It's already done. So you have to get involved in the process. Take the steps to receive that water, to access that water. And so it becomes the same way with those day-to-day things, you know, that you're dealing with, or those day-to-day things that you need. So, you know, getting back to the title of that message, God has already done his part, now you do yours. That's pretty much what I meant, you know, when I came up with the title of that message. God has already done his part. Boom, saved by grace. That's his part. It's already done. Now you do yours. Now you get involved in the process to access everything that's already been given to you through salvation. So, you know, it's really important to try to keep that in the forefront of your mind, because there's so many things that goes on from day to day, and it's easy to forget that. You know, it's easy to get caught up in life. And it's easy to sometimes look at those situations and how they could possibly become bigger than God, because we put so much focus on those situations. And so, you know, we have to keep a reminder that no situation is bigger than God. As a matter of fact, this thing was already taken care of the day I got born again. I received all of that. All of this is done. And so, again, that's just something to keep in the forefront of our minds. So when it comes to that, you know, the combination, there's a combination of the two, you know, in that design, you know, God's part, our part. And that's so important. Having one or the other is kind of like a seesaw. You know, you have to be balanced. You don't want to go one way too much or the other way too much. You know, you want to keep everything balanced. And so with that, you know, sometimes you'll get someone who gets involved in a situation and say, hey, you know, I've heard the label extreme grace or extreme faith. And yeah, you can, you know, those things are out there that can happen. But let's say, hey, I got extreme faith, you know, and I'm putting my faith out here for a new Ferrari. I'm a car guy, by the way, love cars. You all right? Okay. So I'm putting my faith out there for a new Ferrari, right? And I'm, man, every day I got my picture on the wall and I'm speaking to it and I'm believing that thing is going to show up. But you're not getting involved in the process to access it, you know? It's the same way with grace, you know? You know the promises of God. You know what God has already done. But you're not positively responding to what God has already done. So you have one extreme and you have the other extreme. And when you have that, you start to run into issues. So you have to make sure that they're balanced out, because that was the design. The design wasn't one extreme or the other. The design was we were saved by grace through faith. So it's balanced. And so, again, in that design, you see, you know, the part that you play, the role that you play. So, you know, whether it's finances or you know, relationships or whatever the case may be, health, there's several things that people go through on a day-to-day basis. And oftentimes we focus on those things. We look at those things. We research those things so much that they just become bigger and bigger and bigger. And we lose sight of the awesome design that we played a role in. We are so powerful. We are so powerful. Do you know why the devil puts suggestions in front of us? You know? He is powerless. He has absolutely no power. But he knows how much power we have. He knows that we're made in God's image. So he knows how much power we have. So the only thing that the devil can do is say, hey, you know what? I can't do anything to this person, but what I can do is put a suggestion in front of them. Soon as we reach out and pick that suggestion up, we give it power. And then that's when that thing starts to grow and become bigger and bigger and bigger. But he can't do it without our cooperation. So whether this is a cold or whether it's a bill that needs to be paid, whatever the case may be, if we take that suggestion, then we give power to it and we begin to create that. And so we have to realize how powerful we are. We were involved in the process of getting eternal life. Now, we're not pitting ourselves above God. We're not doing that. But what I'm saying is pay attention to the design. You became born again. You have eternal life. That's a powerful thing. And you were involved in that. So if you were involved in that process, imagine how much power you have over all of these day-to-day things. Anything that try to come to you, anything that tries to distract you. You know, we were given dominion and authority on this earth. And so, you know, having that, the knowledge of what we have is important. You know, we need to go back and research and read and understand what all we have. There was a story. There was a guy who scraped up enough money. He wanted to come to America. And he scraped up his money so that he could buy a ticket to get on the cruise boat. Every night, you know, he pretty much used all of his money to get this ticket. And he had like a pack of crackers with him to eat, because he's like, there's no way I can afford the food, right? I just had enough for my ticket. So every night he'd come up and peer through the window and see people in having a good time and eating and, you know, good conversation. And he's like, man, I wish I could afford that food. But I'm just going to go back and eat my crackers, you know, pretend it's a steak. It'll taste like it. Nah. But every night he did this. And then the final night of the trip, he came up and he was looking through the window. And one of the employees that worked on the ship, they said, sir, is there anything that I can help you with? And he said, no, everything's fine. I'm just going to go back to my little cabin and eat my crackers. And he was like, is there anything, you know, is there something wrong with the food? Or, I noticed you haven't been eating. And the employee was trying to figure out what was wrong. What was the problem? And the guy responded, he said, well, no, there's nothing wrong with the food. I love to have it, but I don't have enough money for it. And then the employee said, sir, the price of the food was included with the ticket. So the whole time, he could have been eating, he could have been having a great time, fellowshipping with everybody else, but he didn't know. He did not have the knowledge of what he had. And so if you don't have the knowledge of what you have, how can you positively respond? You know, we're walking around because we've made the decision to become born again, because of salvation, we're walking around with everything that we will ever need on the inside of us. But you have to know how to access it. You have to get involved in the process to access that thing. And so it's very important to know what you have. And of course, that requires studying the word, you know, reading your word, however you may do it, you know. But just get involved, increase that knowledge, help others increase the knowledge, you know, tell others, talk to others and say, hey, you know, you have this. You just have to access it. Grab that cup and walk over there and get that water, you know. So that's very important to understand and to know. It's just knowing that we have what we have and knowing how to access it is very important. So, you know, one of the things that, again, I want to make sure that we understand, you know, I'm not pitting us above God. God is sovereign. He's our Father. We have the same DNA. We're made in His image. And so it's so important, and I can't say this enough, for us to walk in that authority. And what happens when you believe something or when you believe somebody? Another example. Let me see if I can put another example out there. Today, I came to church, and I'm having to get in front of you guys, you awesome, awesome ladies and gentlemen, and speak, give a message. Well, on my way here, there's all these things, you know, what about this or what about that? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? But then there's a point to where I just have to say, you know what? This message, it was given to me by God. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to believe and trust Him. And I'm not going to worry about all of the little details. I'm going to rest. And so your evidence now that you believe into what He's already done becomes rest. Because when you're able to rest and give all control to Him, give it all to Him, and understand that it's already been done, man, you'd be amazed at some of the things that can happen. You know, some of the things that you can hear so clearly. You know, we came to Georgia in order to attend Bible school. And, you know, I finished up my degree. I have a bachelor's degree in social work. And I finished that degree up. Actually was doing it at the same time as we were attending Bible school. That was a feat within itself. But, you know, I had to believe that it could be done, you know. And while we were here, I'm like, all right, Lord, you called us to go to Georgia, go to Bible school, got my social work degree done. You're going to take care of everything. So let's go. I told my wife, come on, let's go. So we came, and I was unemployed for like 9 months. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? You told me to do this, you know? And eventually I had to understand that it was a process that we were going through, to where we learned not to just say, hey, I walk by faith and not by sight. You know, that's a catchy thing to say, right? We literally had to walk by faith and not by sight. And so it became a situation to where we did this. This became real to us. It became more than scripture. It became us being involved in this process of walking by faith and not by sight. And then it got to a point to where we had to rest. If we didn't rest, we were going to worry ourselves silly. And so in that process, God revealed to me something, and this is something He personally spoke to me. He said, I want you to rest. And He said, do you know what rest means? I said, what does rest mean? He said, reveal every secret thing. I'm like, wow. I know in my little mind, I couldn't have come up with that during my quiet time. So I knew it was him. Reveal every secret thing. And he said, yes, he said, when you get in a place of rest, which means when you put everything over to me and you trust me fully with everything, because I've already completed everything, then you'll be able to hear every secret thing where your situation is concerned. So I was like, okay, cool. Let's practice this rest thing. So I start to practice because it's not an overnight thing. You know, you don't just say, hey, situation comes up, rest. Doesn't work like that. It's like situation comes up and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Aren't I supposed to be doing something? You know, so every time a situation comes, I practice rest and I practice rest and I practice rest to the point of, hey, wow, I'm always at a restful state now, you know. And I mean, you know, of course, I'm not saying, you know, nobody's perfect. I'm not always at a restful state. But when something happens now, my initial response might not be rest, but I know to immediately go to, wait a minute, I need to rest, because I will be allowed to hear every secret thing concerning this situation if I can rest. Think about it. When you get to a place, you're working all day, you know, you don't want to hear a whole lot of mumble jumble when you get home. You want to get somewhere and relax, right? You want to calm down. And whenever you get to a place to where you're calm and everything is cool, you're relaxed, then you can deal with people better. You can deal with the family better. You know, you can deal with the children better, the pets better. Think about that. We were designed to rest. It's in the design. You have to understand how powerful that is, because there's so many things out there that can block the instructions that are coming to you at all times. He's always speaking, you know, but you have to come to that place of rest. It doesn't matter what the situation is. So I was looking at Ephesians 2:8 this morning, and it was something pretty cool happening, because, again, I'm trying to put this message together, and I'm like, all right, I got two scriptures. I need some more scriptures, you know. I can't let Pastor Carlton down, you know, and it's like, no, I want you to stick with these two scriptures. Like, it's not going to be long enough. No, I want you to stick with these two scriptures. Okay, all right. So let me, you know, I'm just meditating on Ephesians 2:8. And something pretty cool happened, and I now see why he had me to use the Amplified version. Just reading it one more time. For it is by grace, remarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. Here's a cool part. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way. Now, this is what he told me. He said, go back to Ann. Okay, going back to Ann. And this salvation is not of yourselves. Pause. He said, now take a situation that you might be going through, and I want you to replace that with salvation. I said, okay. Let's see. And just as a precursor, I'm going to use the example of trust. Babe, I don't have any trust issues with you. It's all good. But... So I said, okay, hey, let's put trust in there and see what it sounds like. So I said, and this trust is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way. When I say trust, it's like if you're having any issue, trust issues in a relationship or something like that, and you're really working towards trust. So when you put that, and this ability to trust, we'll put it worded like that, and this ability to trust is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God. That means that the ability for you to have the trust that you're looking for was already given to you. It's already there. It's not of you. It's there because of what Christ already did. So you already have that on the inside of you. And then I begin to kind of play around with and insert other things in there. You know, you insert health, or you insert the ability to have finances. You know, it all comes out the same way. And so I said, you know, that would be something neat to just, you know, kind of write down and keep as a reminder, you know, to keep as a reminder that we already have everything on the inside of us that we need. We just have to know how to access it. So he was talking to me through this one scripture, and I just thought that was pretty neat. So I guess I don't need a whole bunch of scriptures. Hey. So one of the question that I wanted to pose, you know, just going through all this to get to this final point. The question that I wanted to pose is, let me find it here. How is it that we as Christians have the ability to utilize our faith in order to receive unshakable salvation, but continue to struggle in receiving everything that salvation has provided? So I'll read it one more time. How is it that we as Christians have the ability to utilize our faith in order to receive unshakable salvation, but continue to struggle in receiving everything that salvation has provided? So if you don't mind, you know, just kind of in line with what we've talked about today, just take a little time and get with the groups that's right there around your tables, or you can, you know, whatever you want to do. You can get up and walk around if you want to, and kind of discuss this question, and then we'll have a brief moment to where we come back and get some feedback.